Sci-Fi.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. I'm Wade.
I'm Willie.
This is a Starburns audio produced podcast. One believer, one skeptic, and one guest. If you have a 5-star review, leave it on Apple Podcasts. We'll read it on the air. Hey, and this episode is brought to you by our Patreon, Brian Lewis. Brian, thank you so much for being a friend of Charlquan.
Bro, thank you.
If you want to contribute to our Patreon, just go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. If you become a friend of Charlquan, we'll read your name on air as a producer. Willie, what are you drinking on Brian's dime?
I am drinking Peak IPA. It's the you get it at Trader Joe's. It's the only beer that they tested out of the 10 that didn't have glyphosate in it.
Okay, God damn it. Jesus. I looked that up, and now all I get is news alerts saying, it's fine. Glyphosate is not going to kill you in Miller Lite. I'm drinking Casadora's Tequila Reposado.
And oh, it's some, so good. Nice.
Lime soda water. Thanks again, Brian. Once again, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Hey, let's welcome aboard the SSRLSF our good friend from high school and before, Murphy.
Hello. Thanks for having me. Thanks so much. Honored to be here. And I'm
thanks for being 45.
Here. Dude, how long have you been growing your hair? It's got really long hair.
Couple months. Years. I don't know.
So, hey, where did you go to CU?
No. I went to school at University of Northern Colorado in Greeley.
Oh, that's cool. Who was the receiver that came from there that was really good from San Diego?
I don't know. The kid that stole my bike?
And now I'm just tracing... I know when
UNC had a professional football player.
Oh yeah,
I find that hard to believe.
He was a big time Chargers wide receiver. Anyways, he was there when Breeze also threw with Philip Rivers. Anyways, Jackson. Who was Jackson
from? Vincent Jackson.
Vincent Jackson went to UNC.
Oh wow, weird.
And the Broncos used to train there. Anyways, I don't know why I'm bringing anything up. I'm just saying that, like, when Wade and I moved to LA, Murphy moved to San Diego, so we'd still run into him for like a decade. I don't know how long you were there for, but.
Indeed. I was there for most of the first half of the 2000s, I guess. And then 2005, 6-ish, then I went to Riverside. So then I was east LA or east of east LA.
It was like 2 hours with traffic, hour and a half.
Right.
I went to visit you one time and my car broke down. I've had so many cars break down. My head gasket blew on my red car on my way leaving your place. No, I was hanging out with Bill, but then I went to your place after.
Yes. And your car was full of gasoline and I was totally freaked out and I thought I was gonna explode. I was like, Willie, if you drive this thing home, you're gonna die.
It just smelled like gas really bad. Anyways,
Willie, how many cars have you owned?
I've had at least 16 cars.
Jesus.
I was so broke for so long that I'd only buy cars for cash. I had no credit. So I'd buy, like, when we first moved here, my car broke down. And I found a Geo Metro for $500 on Craigslist, and it lasted less than a year. I was driving on the freeway, and I looked up, and I saw my whole muffler system, not just the muffler, the whole muffler system, like, fall off of my car. I was like, fuck, man, what is that?
What is that? I probably don't need it.
We've had bad luck with cars.
Well, Murphy, thanks again for being here. As I mentioned, this is a conspiracy theory podcast where we have a believer and a skeptic and a guest. And what we like to do for our audience is test our guest on something we call the WOW scale. It stands for Wade or Willie. It's a 5-question quiz. And depending on your answers, you will rank anywhere from a 0, which is a Wade, to a 5, which is a Willie. Does that make sense?
I got it.
It's not bad or good. It's just us.
I got it.
Okay. Are you ready to take the WOW scale?
Ready.
Wow Scale.
Are you a wed or are you a willy?
First question, three-parter. Do you believe in aliens? If so, have they ever visited Earth? If so, have they visited Earth in the last 300 years?
No, no, and no.
Oof. Wow. Very definitive. Second question, do you believe in ghosts?
Perhaps.
Do you have any ghost stories? Well, I'd like to get a little background of our guest on this question. You're from the same town that Willie and I are, Loveland, Colorado. Were you raised religious at all?
No, not at all.
Okay. And do you have any ghost stories?
Yeah, I have a little one.
All right, tell it.
Okay, so at North Lincoln, there's a building at 428 North Lincoln in Loveland, Colorado, that was the first hospital in Loveland, Colorado. It is, you know where the Black Steer is, the restaurant.
Yeah, sure.
Side note, the Black Steer in town has billboards that say, you'll love our rear. Black Steer, you'll love our rear. I just... As a kid, I was like, this is the funniest sign in the world. Anyway, go on.
I was a prude. I was very put off by it.
It was the first hospital. I did not know that in Loveland. You know, that little downtown area, all that was built like in the early 1900s. It was like 1900s. You know, it was all built in like 1903, 4, 5. First hospital, a buddy of mine that Wade and I know, Willie, you probably know him too. We were kids. I mean, we were in the eighth grade. We were playing music. We were playing in a shitty band.
And oh, that practiced. Band practice space that you guys used to always practice? That was the hospital?
Yes. Yeah, the
oh,
place
okay,
above
cool.
the steam.
All right, go on.
So I'm there with a buddy of mine, so we're playing a couple buddies and I go to the bathroom and it was the first hospital. So there, you know, people have died there. I go to the restroom. The bathroom had a fire extinguisher on the outside of it. And there was a pine cone. And this is interesting with the purse stuff later, but there was a pine cone on this. And we had earlier joked, and I was in like eighth grade, you know, and we had earlier joked like, oh, that's weird. There's a pine cone on top of this thing. So I go in to pee to the bathroom. I leave the door open, of course, because I'm a total gentleman. And the pine cone, I hear a little thump. But the door, it's hard to explain, for me at least, but the door was at a 45-degree angle, and the pine cone rolled around the door. And it was just wrote like there was a force behind the pine cone. And I turn around as I'm peeing, and so I'm sure I peed everywhere. But because I heard the pine cone fall off, and then I heard it roll towards me. And then it was like very slowly just rolling towards me and hit me in the heel. And I freaked out. And this is the first hospital. Everybody had died there.
Rightly so. That's fucking weird. Go on.
Well, you know, I didn't see a figure. I didn't see a bot, you know, like none of that stuff. But like, dude, this shit doesn't happen. Like, how does it fall and then roll around the thing and propel itself? And like, what's the message? What's the meaning of this? I don't know what the fuck it means. So I got freaked out. I totally
plant more trees.
You so are a tree. Yeah.
That's it. So, I got so freaked out.
So even with that being said, you maybe believe in ghosts.
Yeah. I'll go with maybe.
Okay. Well, what else would it have been like? What if it wasn't a ghost? If that didn't convince you that there were ghosts?
Like, do you think something was trying to get your attention in some way, and maybe you just weren't ready to, like, solve the crime?
Well, I mean, it could have been something like physics, which I equally do not understand.
Right.
Yeah. I think if you say you understand it, it's like you're locked into a time and it's just still evolving, so you're behind too.
Right. But I freaked out. I totally freaked out because it was so weird.
Did you continue playing or did you just go home?
I took a break. I just kind of had to take a minute, you know, to sort of gather my wits. And then, yeah, we went back to playing our shitty music. But I was weirded out, man. I was totally weirded
hey,
out.
Hey, wasn't your brother in a band too?
He played with a few folks. He played with Gib Tovar and a few other guys. One of his bands, I don't even know if they ever played a show, but hopefully they did. But I love this. One of his band names was No Ma'am.
Now, was that a Married with Children reference?
I don't know. Either way, it's good.
Mm-hmm.
No Ma'am.
Okay, question three. Do you believe in Bigfoot?
Oh, gosh, that's a good one. The Sasquatch stuff, I think, you know, I did a hard no on the first one and a soft no on this one. And I think on the second one, I think I'll do a soft no on this. I, you know, that's an interesting possibility to have a Sasquatch type of Bigfoot type of person. You know, because we came from something very similar, you know, to that several thousand years ago. So I don't know, man. Maybe.
Do you believe in any of the cryptozoological, like Loch Ness or the Chupacabra or anything like that? Or is it just apathy? I'm more apathetic to most of these things.
I'm more with you, Wade. I'm a little bit more apathetic, but I like thinking that these things are possible, but I'm probably more apathetic about it.
Okay. Question number four. Do you believe in psychics?
Yeah, probably, but not necessarily in the traditional sense. Like, you know, you go pay Florence $20 and she flips over cards. But I do think that there may be folks that are tapped in to other sort of, and I'm not a spiritual person at all. Like, I don't think, you know, some of those things, but some people can tap. It's kind of like when you vibe with someone. I mean, you have a partner, you kind of know what they're thinking. I think some people may have that ability, like your pet, like your cat knows when you're sad, or your dog especially knows when you're sad. Like, I get that. So with the psychic stuff, yeah, there's something there, in my opinion.
Okay, last question. You played a lot of sports growing up. Are you superstitious at all?
Slightly. I did do some things playing sports that would be, you know, defined as superstition, but in that context, no, I mean, not really. I mean, it's like, you know, going to work or, you know, playing a show, or like you're prepared, you show up, you do the best you can, and you're like, well, you know, that was a
what
home.
About, sucked. What about in your current life? Do you have any superstitions that you do?
No, not a one.
Okay. It was like a one. Right?
Yeah.
I'd say a one. I mean, like, you know, maybe a zero, but we'll give you the benefit of the doubt and say that you're maybe one inch toward Willie. On our 5-inch foot that we have.
I think that's accurate.
All right, great. Willie, what are we talking about?
Tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi, ancient handbags. Sounds like a crazy weird thing, but there are a lot of old art depictions, sculptures from ancient civilizations that depict some of their gods holding what looks like and are described as ancient handbags, water pails. What are these things? Did they really draw them just holding a handbag, a water pail? Could this also be some ancient energy device or maybe something more mysterious? Find out tonight on Real Life Sci-Fi.
Okay. Ancient handbags. I don't know anything about this.
Neither of you guys have ever heard of this before, right?
I've never heard of this.
I've never heard of it.
It's just funny to me because I feel like it's been on my list of topics for like over a year. If not more. I'm like I've always been fascinated by this. I mean, so basically, there are, and I'll describe some specific examples, but there are ancient civilizations where they, from across the globe, that look like they're holding the same handbag or a water pail. Listen, academia says that they call it a handbag. I think if there was just a regular layman's thing, it probably would be a water pail.
So it looks like a bucket?
Could be a
bucket. It's like a Jack and Jill going to the beach.
Yeah.
Sort of like.
Well, the two-dimensional version of that, you know, I mean, they honestly look more like handbags than water pails because when you draw a water pail, you can make it three-dimensional and draw the water in it, and none of them have that. And so that's what makes it weird. It's like, well, if you want to draw water in a bucket, you know what water in a bucket looks like, and you can make it look like that, and none of these look like that.
I'll admit, Willie sent me a couple things to look through, and I looked through a couple of things, so I guess technically I have heard of this, but Wade, it's in 2D. It's in 2D, so it looks like a handbag. It totally looks like a handbag.
But you know, I mean, look, it's so easy to just
looks
draw
like this?
To just draw waves.
Like that. Is that what it looks like?
Well, yeah.
Yours looks like a pail. It's actually straight up and down, you know.
Oh, it's straight up and down. So it's like a square with a handle on it?
Yes.
Correct.
And so I'm glad that you described it that way because, you know, listen, if you want to make water, you just add an oval at the top and you draw waves on it.
Right.
So easy to make it water.
Like, would you consider this on this one that I'm not covering? Does that look like a water pail to you?
It looks like an ice cream cone.
I'm not good at art.
Well, so I know you haven't heard of this before now, Murphy, but before we get started, I know the videos I sent you may have been, you know, definitely biased, but what's your quick take?
Well, the quick take is a handbag is a piece of technology, like fire the wheel, the fence. The fence was an important piece of technology because that's when we stopped going from being hunters and gatherers. Truly, it's the fence. It's before the plow. It's the fence. When you started chasing animals, you said, shit, let's just build a fence. We don't have to chase them anymore. Put them inside the fence.
It's also a foolproof way to keep our enemies out. There's no getting around a fence.
Exactly. Exactly correct. Exactly correct. But the bag, because think of hunters and gatherers, and you know there were thousands of years where we actually did that, and your hands can hold so much, and then some geniuses invented a bag. They said, "Shit, man, we could just put this shit in the bag."
They probably started with like hollowed out rocks or something, and they're like, "Look, I can put all these gems in here, and now if I attach a handle to it, I've got like a way to carry all these gems that I've got."
Yeah, it's an important piece of technology. Like we have these pieces of pottery, and like that's so important.
Yeah.
Goddamn right, that's important because we fucking put water in that shit, and like it could carry more than our hands could carry. Like, you know, when you say like, "Oh, I ran out of hands, I can't carry more shit." Well, some motherfuckers invented a bag.
You know, when you say that, it makes me laugh because I'm like, well, you know what, dude? Bag's pretty fucking important. And like it's easy to be like, well, they wouldn't have drawn a bag.
but I think like to his point, like what is more important than a bag when you're trying to get around? Everybody has bags. There's not a person on this world who doesn't have a bag right now.
No. Yeah, that's interesting. Like, why are you gonna waste carving a bag? I'm like, well, no, actually, bag's pretty cool.
So has this completely rendered your topic?
No, not at all, dude. I'm telling you, we're gonna go crazy tonight.
I think what's in the bag.
What's in the bag?
Yeah, that's
well.
That's the
I mean,
Willie.
That's
what's in the bag.
Gems.
But like that's
how they carry their gems.
If you're creating a relief that's going to take a long time, or building a sculpture, or even just drawing, cave drawing, whatever, you have an opportunity to say what's in the bag, and if it was a bag, I feel like you would almost say, hey. Anything can go in the bag. Let's draw everything. And there's never anything that says, hey, there's something in there. It doesn't even show that there is anything in there. It doesn't look like it's ruffled. Doesn't look like it's big. Doesn't look like it's round.
Well, even beyond that, because that sounds like very advanced sort of chiseling technique. Like if it were for gems, you could easily draw a gem on the bag, you know, and then it would be the gem. People would be like, that's the gem bag.
Yeah.
Not like the gym bag that you take to the gym, but like the gym bag that stores your precious gems.
Yes. And so that my defense in all of this is, like I said, you want to draw a pail of water, you can show water.
Are these people like royalty, or like who has the bags?
Well, in a lot of situations they are gods. And so let me start with the earliest drawings, the earliest carvings of the handbag, right? Now, this just happened recendly. If you've heard of Göbekli Tepe, this was unearthed in Turkey. And this was like a monolithic temple complex that... So this is shocking to the world of archaeology, because these structures predate Stonehenge by like 6,000 years. So Göbekli Tepe was found within the last 20 years. It's basically like circles with like giant structures above.
I mean, it's very sort of Stonehenge-y. It's like big sort of monoliths.
Here's the thing. It is Stonehenge-y. They say it's about 12,000 years old, and some of the stones are over 20,000 1,000. There are over 20 tons. Some of the stones are more than 20 tons, which is, that's 40,000 pounds, right?
Yeah.
20 tons is like, it's 20 tons is bigger than any of the stone blocks of the pyramid.
I mean, it's like 20 elephants, right? Aren't elephants each a ton?
Oh, yeah. 20 elephants, is that, right?
I don't know.
I think that is right.
It seems like elephants might be a ton.
No, the regular pyramids, that in the base, there are bigger stone pieces than the pieces of the pyramid. But 20 tons is fucking huge. And so to be 6,000 years older than Stonehenge, it's just an amazing, weird thing. And now this was built by, this is called the pre-pottery age. So they were hunter-gatherers. So this shocked everybody's description of the world and everything that anybody ever knew of that time. And there is, on some of these sculptures, on some of these stones, there are relief things carved into them. And one of them has three handbags on top of a bird that looks like it's either holding a sphere or the sphere is levitating above the bird's wings. So whatever the fuck this is. Now, there's all these different carvings of animals in all of these structures. But there are three handbags in one of them. So it's like,
I'm looking at it. I just coincidentally was looking at it when you started describing it.
So just saying though that those handbags that are drawn are it's the exact same style of handbag that's drawn with all of these other gods holding them. So it's not the fact that it's a handbag. It doesn't need to be a handbag, but it's the same drawing.
It looks like just V's and A's to me. Am I looking at the right thing?
Is there three of them in a row above a bird?
The bird and the orb I definitely see, and then the stuff above it just looks like
V's. It's a square with a half circle above it, right? An arc.
Okay. Yeah.
So okay. whatever that handbag drawing is, it sucks to call it a handbag. You know, that's what it is, whatever they're holding. And so I only bring up them first because this is the oldest civilization that has that. The next thing, about 400 miles away, what they call the cradle of civilization in Sumeria, they have Mesopotamia, Assyria, they both have depictions of some of what they call gods or whatever, holding what looks like whatever the handbag, the pail. There's one particular one where there are two creatures on each side of the tree of life, where one creature is holding a pine cone in one hand.
Murphy's freaked out.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I saw one of those earlier.
With a handbag in the other one.
Right.
And so, I mean, Sumeria, they call it the cradle of civilization because they were the first civilization that, I mean, right out the gates, the first civilization that we have record of, the earliest civilization, has language, has tablets that survived everything. We have a lot of their stories. We see that they have a knowledge that I would say is very intelligent. They have math. They have an understanding of the universe, even. There are a couple drawings of them that show what some people claim are the constellations around the sun. Or, I mean, not constellations, the planets around the sun. So Sumeria is weird because they seem to know things that we lost in time. Because there's clearly one where it's like, this is the sun, this is the moon, and there's seven other things in the sky. So here's the other thing too. They know what a tree looks like. So for people to say that this is a tree and this is the tree of life, I'm like, well, they fucking know what trees look like, and this isn't a tree. You know, this is another drawing. You can call it the tree of life, you can call it the, what's the other word for it? The tree of knowledge.
But yeah, tree of life, tree of knowledge. That's like super common in like origin stories across. Like tons of cultures sort of did that.
But you know that it's not a tree, and you know that it's representing something else. So it's like,
right, oh yeah, right, right. It's totally symbolic.
So that leans to, okay, what the fuck is this pine cone and what the fuck is this bucket? Could it be that the pine cone is like, hey, we're seeding things and here's a bucket of water. You plant the seed and you water it. I feel like if that's what it was, it'd be a little more clear.
I think it's that he's picking fruit. It's not a pine cone. It's a fruit. And he's putting it in his little handbag.
Doop, 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 doop.
But then there's another one where he's holding a pail, and he's not picking fruit, but his hand is up in the same way. Yeah, it looks like a handbag because it's got like woven. What are those chairs that people?
Wicker.
Yeah, it's like a wicker handbag.
So whatever that is, it's like whoever is like deciphering this stuff. It's weird because I've heard people just be like, well, here's what it is. It's a pail of water. And over here, we know that they call the pail of water this, and this is what it is. And I'm, and then this, you know, this academia smartass went on to explain all of these sentences that were written in the cuneiforms. And I'm like, no matter what you think the translation is, it's not one-to-one. There's no language that translates one-to-one in any fucking translation. And I only bring that up because what has always bothered me is when I hear people, you know, I'm Asian, but I didn't grow up Asian. And so I hear people ripping on Asians and I kind of listen. I'm like, oh, what is that? Oh, the, you know, Asian women are, you know, they're very standoffish. They don't want to cause problems. They don't even have a word for no in their language. Chinese. And I'm like, well, I'm Chinese. And the problem is that, yes, there is no translation for the word no, but most languages make the subject negative. So, you know, even in Spanish, like, or French, I know French, I don't know if there's a word for no, there probably is, but for most things you make it negative. You add something to make it negative, which means you're not saying no, but you're making, I only bring this up because I laugh anytime somebody says, this is what this means. And this is what this says. I'm like, no, you need to say that this is an interpretation, and that interpretation came from a time when it was interpreted.
And so so you're mad at the interpretation that it's a pail?
No, I'm mad at one specific piece of shit asshole that like was trying to explain to everyone like, no, this is a pail of water, man. Look at, this is what this says. And I don't need to call him out. I'm just saying like,
well, I feel like at this point you almost have to call him.
Well,
out.
I know, but I gotta look it up, and it's gonna take me time. So at any rate, so the next civilization that has, so this is the first stretch, right? And I'm sorry to talk so much. Maybe I should come up with some topics to riff about. But in ancient Egypt, there are a lot of people. Some people have suggested that maybe the Ankh, which a lot of their gods are holding, could actually be similar to a handbag because it's got the curve at the top. It just has a different bottom. So what if the Ankh was drawn differently, but it was meant to represent the same thing, whatever that is?
What do the Egyptians, what is that to them?
Well, the Ankh, do we know? Is a lot of things. It is symbolic in such a weird way that, like, my personal take when I see the Ankh is it's like some device that, like, if you take a tuning fork and you add a tuning fork reverberates energy, and so you add a loop onto it, and then the reverberation builds upon itself and is sent back to you. So to me, it's like in all of this realm,
I think it's a little man.
When you start getting into chakras and kundalini and the serpents, you know, you look at all these ancient civilizations that had pyramids, that had that drew this handbag. So, like, there's this Mayan drawing that has a guy with a handbag and he's surrounded by a snake. And
well, hey, hang on. Just what do you think the handbag is?
So
if it's not a pail of water, and I don't think you think it's a handbag either, or do you?
No. One idea that I have is that it's somewhat symbolic. So, like, when I see snakes and a lot of stuff, to me, that is a description of the energy of life. That, like, I think that we are beings that are made up of electrical impulses. So that electricity, the electromagnetic field, and to me, the snake represents the energy that is within us. That's why there are snakes, you know, picture the snakes around the spine. It's like the energy of life is electricity, which also comes from the earth. So to me, the snake is electricity, and the pail, whatever that pail is, I think that it could be water, because when you have moving water, it creates electricity. And so I think one represent it could be water, but trying to represent the energy of water.
So this is okay. So this is just an example of how
I know,
no,
right?
No offense.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have decided that electricity is the most important thing, and that they had electricity through, like, various weird Egyptian ways, and now they're showing it through a pail, even though you don't think it's a pail.
Well, I mean, this is one idea. My later idea, I think, is more accurate. This is
what's that?
Well, I figured we'd riff a little bit before we get there, right? I'm so stupid. I always treat this like a speech.
Why don't you just give us your thoughts?
I mean, I think that the handbag or the pail or whatever we're going to call it, it simply must be meaningful because it's carved in stone, right? I mean, if you're going to carve something in stone, it must mean something important.
Yeah, it's like when you put your initials on a desk.
Exactly. You know,
you wouldn't just write random letters. That would be meaningless. It would be totally meaningless.
Oh, I would love to meet the person that does that. And like, oh, what? They're fucking letters, man. They're cool.
God, I'm gonna start doing that this week. Oh, that's gonna be so much fun. I can't wait to carve your guys' initials and desks next week. But we have the same initials, that would have meaning. That would actually have meaning, which is interesting. But so the bags must mean something. They must have some cultural importance because you don't, you know, because you're documenting it, right? And carving it into stone, and there are these other like hieroglyphics and these other carving the, you know, it's got to be important in order to be represented. However, what is it? And then why is it important? And then more importantly, who's inside it? And Willie knows something about this. The thing that when I looked at a few of the images was, who's holding the damn bag? Because if the bag is being held by like a plebeian, like, you know, fools like us, or is the bag being held, like by a god or something?
Well,
that's a big difference in that.
That's the question. And in Mesopotamia and Assyrian drawings, like these are the Anunnaki. These are their gods holding them. They're not people.
Right. And that's interesting. That because that's more meaningful than just, you know, chumps like us holding a bag.
And so here's the weirdest thing. Okay, I don't know if you've seen ancient, what is it? What's that? Shauna, what's that? That documentary? Chariots of the Gods. Have you seen Chariots of the Gods?
No.
I don't think I have.
This thing, I just think everybody needs to watch this. This is Eric Von Daniken. Anyways, whatever. It starts out with this plane that flew over this civilization that wasn't. It's like a documentary, but also the first Ancient Aliens video. Basically, it was like in the 70s. This played in the theaters, and it starts with technologically advanced man flying over a tribe of people that have never seen technology, and I think this is all real. I don't think this is made up. They see the plane and they don't know what it is, and they say, oh, this is a god. And so they build a plane out of hay and they wait for the god to come back. And it was just this weird thing that like showed you that like if you saw technology and worshiped that technology or that god, you would try, like, your description of what they are holding or what they're doing isn't going to match their technology. And so it was a good mind fuck from the 70s to be like, hey, when I apply it to the handbag, it's like, hey, all of these gods that are walking around, they're all holding this device. So what the fuck is that? We don't know, but we see them holding it. So let's draw them holding it. And so, you know, Ancient Aliens are the first people to be like, oh, you know, when the astronauts are walking around, they're holding these devices that look just like these handbags. And it's actually their, I think it's like their oxygen. It has something to do with their oxygen or something, but they're like, oh, the astronauts are holding these devices that look like these handbags. Maybe this is technology.
Ooh, so that's interesting.
It is. It's very, yeah.
Like as if these gods are astronauts from some other Earth that are visiting, but they can't breathe our air. And so it's like a, yeah, I like that. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll get deeper into handbags with our friend Murphy.
Willie Bad Movies presents D&A Park.
You're never going to believe what I did, Cletus. Marlon, you made dinosaurs from the DNA? Wow, unbelievably shocking. Where did you get the DNA from, Marlon?
I found some in my tar pit. I'm still making more. Plus, I got that old alligator.
Sounds pretty dangerous, Marlon.
No way. Anything can be safe with the proper fence.
A film that started long before man.
Wow, is that a real dinosaur? It's so big. Does a tree fall in the woods?
But man's greatest discovery quickly turns into their worst nightmare.
Someone betrayed me. All of the gates are open. I'll bet this gets my park closed down, damn it.
DNA Park.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Real Life Sci-Fi with Wade and Willie. We are talking about ancient handbags with our good friend, Murphy. Murphy, you're a teacher, yeah?
Indeed,
sorry, I cut you off guard.
No, that's fine. Indeed, I am.
What kind of teacher are you?
I teach sociology.
So civilizations and stuff like that? I'm a moron.
Well, civilizations are important. We study groups of people. Psychologists study individuals, right? Like we could psychologists would say, well, this is why Wade's fucked up and this is why Willie's fucked up, like
because
as an individual.
Parents. Because of our parents. Both of our cases of parents.
And sociologists study entire groups of people. Like, well, this is the problem with a group of people.
What's your favorite group of people in the history of
groups of people?
Old people. Old people. That's my favorite.
But does that mean us?
Aren't old people changing?
Yeah. Old is changing. Old is interesting. There are various definitions of what constitutes old. It's a subjective thing. I mean, we're all older than 40 now, aren't we?
Fucking A.
Yeah.
So that's old. But when you're a 13-year-old kid, boy, that 16-year-old kid that smokes pot is old.
Right.
You know, so old is a subjective thing, and it's a numeric thing. I mean, we can put a number on it. But specifically, I've been interested in what's been called the quote-unquote oldest old. That is folks that are 85 and above. Interesting way to be. We're gonna be there one day, or you two.
Oh, no,
I won't.
No. The world will crumble long before that. We're gonna be killed by baseball bats with nails sticking through them. Around 60, I would say.
When you hit 85, man, you're like, you do become a different class of people because you if you make it to 85, you have to feel invincible, right?
Something like that. Yeah. So I've done a lot of work with folks in that category. Again, that group of people. It's a different life. And a lot of the young, what people like us in, let's just say, early 40s, who do we say is young these days? Oh, these goddamn 20-year-old kids coming in and just rocking and rolling and hitting home runs and these goddamn kids, you know. So we're old.
I always hate how the kids hit home runs, man.
Yeah, 29 is old for a home run hitter, right?
Right. And so we're old to them, but that's like a subjective thing. And those people are going to live to be 100.
Again, I think society will crumble and they'll probably flame out around 40. I'm going to take a few of them down.
So yeah, I'm interested in old people.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. I remember you were interviewing old people in Riverside. So, I mean, here's my next line of thoughts/questions, right? Like, when I look at whatever the fuck this is, right, and I try to picture, because obviously us looking at our interpretations of what any of this is, we don't get a say in it because academia has told you what they're saying, and you don't really question the experts in the field of the translations, which sucks. But What if, let's say, I have this idea that what if time is a flat circle and, you know, this is an idea that's been thought of before, whatever. And time travel exists. Maybe it does. Maybe it doesn't. I've looked at stories of time slips, you know. What if this ancient civilization could see a future civilization? And so it wasn't gods. They could just see into the future, and they didn't know it was the future. And they treated them as gods. And you tried to emulate their technology or whatever the fuck it is that they're doing. I only bring this up because I think it's hilarious to think that an ancient civilization was trying to look at a civilization that's way past us, and we couldn't see it because we're in the middle. And so when you look at the realm of physics and the nature of reality, and even mixing in black holes, you know, we're like, even today, you can't have a conversation about black holes with somebody, because anybody that you're talking to doesn't know shit. And if they do know something, it's like outdated already. You know, they're saying that, like, right now they're saying like most black holes are probably wormholes. And I'm like, yeah, whatever they are, we can't talk about that because none of us know what the fuck it is. We know that there's different planes of existence. We know that there's multiple spatial dimensions currently around us that we do not perceive and we can't explain except for maybe on a piece of paper. And so talking about a black hole, like, who the fuck are you talking to? Because nobody knows shit.
So, Willie, you're talking about the multiple world stuff.
Well, let's just say that there's one world, but there are, according to string theory, there are 11 spatial dimensions around us. So let's just stick with that. Forget brains, forget multiple dimensions, all this stuff. Just spatial dimensions. So up, down, left, right. That's three up, down. That's only three dimensions. We do not perceive the fourth dimension. And we don't even really know what it is. When you think you start talking about tesseracts and stuff, then you lose everybody. And then you add six more on top of that. And so let's say that a previous civilization just were aware of the fourth dimension and they tried to explain that in anything. That would be 100% loss in our translations of whatever we were trying to look at them. Like when you add physics and so I only bring that up because when you look at the first civilization that had writing, they have the sun and planets around it. They have Neptune that we couldn't even see until we were aware of gravity. You know, like, I'm just saying, like, we are treating these civilizations like they're stupid and they are ahead of us. And forget about the race. I'm just saying that, like, this handbag is not a fucking handbag and it's not a pail of water.
I just think, like, fine, they're not dumber than us, but why does that mean that they're smarter than us? Like, why is that always why do you always say that?
Well, you always take it as smarter, and I don't treat what I'm saying as smarter. It's just different. It's just like we don't pay attention because So, like, there was one translation in this guy that I was bitching about where he mentioned the word heaven, and I was like, wait a minute. These guys use the word heaven? Like, you have a translation for the word heaven, and this civilization existed thousands of years before Christianity? Like, where did heaven come from? So that, to me, it makes me say that this translation is bullshit.
Well, to me, that's just the shorthand. Like, they're not saying that they literally said heaven. They're saying, like, whatever they... Because these people believed in an afterlife. They had all of these gods that they were worshiping. So whatever that afterlife is probably what they were referring to, and this guy just, for clarity's sake, called it heaven.
No, that's the academia translation. I'm saying, like, heaven and heavens got truncated together,
so you think they might mean space.
Cosmos. Heavens. Yeah. I'm saying that, like, these old civilizations were talking about space, and then we add heaven to just make it a myth.
Well, let me hop in here. So I can back up a little bit and think about epistemology. And it's a stupid, fancy academic word, but it's just ways of knowing. You know different ways of knowing. Like, you know, when you're sick, there's a kinesthetic body, and you just know that you're sick because your body tells you you're sick. It's like a kinesthetic way of knowing, right? And then sometimes you don't know you're sick, and then you go to the doctor, and they say, oh my God, you know, you have cancer. And you're like, no, but I fucking feel fine, man. Trust me, I'm good. And they say, no, you do. That's like a scientific way of knowing. I'm not saying one way of knowing is better than a different way of knowing. And right. There's other folks that have these experiences where, you know, whoever their fucking God is talks to them. I've never had that experience. I've never had it. Some people have. I just trust them. You know, maybe I should. And so that's a different, just a different, not better or worse, just a different way of knowing, right? So to set it up that way, like to Willie's point, you know, did these folks know something? Did they know something different? I don't know, better or worse, right? I don't know, and I'm willing to entertain an idea that, like, because I understand that there are different ways of knowing things, and because I'm willing to accept the fact that just because you know something different than I do doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. Like, if you know it and I don't, it doesn't mean you're lying. Maybe you are.
Right. But, like, yeah.
I will question you for sure because I haven't fucking experienced it. But, you know,
I mean, in a way, it's kind of the core of our entire podcast, like, especially when it comes to ghosts and stuff like that. Like, a lot of people who believe in ghosts, it's not so much what happens to them as, like, the feeling that they get when it happens to them. You know what I mean? And so, like, so you, when the pine cone rolled around the corner, it freaked you out. You didn't necessarily attribute it to ghosts because you didn't have that feeling that it was ghosts, you know, whereas someone else might have.
Correct. I did not feel that it was a ghost, but I knew that it was fucking weird. I knew that it wasn't correct. And then I knew that it was the first hospital in our hometown where clearly people, if it was a hospital, people had died there. And where did supposedly, you know, ghosts are, you know, places where they die.
Right.
I was fucking freaked out.
Much less people died in the second hospital because they knew more about medicine. It was the first hospital, so a lot of
right.
people died.
It's funny.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
So here's my here's an idea that I saw that I'm not going to be able to explain well, but I lean more towards when you take all of these handbag drawings and you take all of the ancient masters of art, like let's say Da Vinci, right? When you look at his paintings and drawings and whatever, there is a geometry behind it that, like, proves that they are aware of other geometries because they use a specific template. A specific geometric template that all of their drawings are based on, meaning,
sure.
You know, you take the circle, you take this thing, and you add this thing, and then you make your drawing so that your painting and all of your art almost show anybody who is aware of that geometry that you're using that geometry. So it's almost like, so an example is the Philosopher's Stone, right? The Philosopher's Stone is that from, who uses that? The Mormons? Right. Anyways, whatever. When you look at the drawing of the Philosopher's Stone, the artwork of it, there is a geometry behind that drawing that is the key to anybody in this. It's almost like this. There is a geometry of the universe, and if you know this geometry, then you put that in your art to prove to anybody looking for it that you know about it. And so it's,
but
like,
does it have to be about the universe, or couldn't it just be like, hey, look, a circle is the same mass as a square,
but it's
the same mass as a triangle,
but it's a specific occult thing where it's like,
it became an occult thing, but couldn't it just be like, hey, look, fucking geometry.
Well, but what I'm trying to tell you is that, like, every handbag has this exact same map of geometry on it. It's not just geometry. It's a specific, I wish I could explain it. Like building the pyramid, the angles that they use prove, and all of the chambers proves, like a Da Vinci artwork, that they were built this specifically to this very specific occult geometric pattern.
Okay, but was it specific?
Yeah. It's so specific that, like,
I'm making fun of you because you said specific like five times.
I'm sorry. But like, it's crazy because it makes me question the fact that the ratio between the Earth and the moon is involved in this pattern to make me say, oh, God damn it. Doesn't this prove that the moon was put there? Sorry. That's another episode.
This is a classic Willie snowball. Go on, Murphy.
No, I love Willie's exploration of thinking about the handbags, and you're right, when you look at the handbags, the images of them, and it is a little bit, you know, it's very interesting that the representations of the handbag are that similar across different cultures at different times. That's very interesting.
Sure.
And Willie, you're right. I mean, the geometry of it, like the shape and the spacing between where things are also very similar. So is that
so similar that they're actually exact?
They're very similar. And so, like,
well, the other thing that we haven't touched on is they're always holding the bag with one hand and reaching up with the other hand. And I don't know if that's important or not, but
could be. Why?
Yeah,
not?
I mean, like, there's no handbag with like corn hanging out of it, and
right.
You know,
that's the thing,
sandwich in the other hand.
See what's in the bag. I want to see what's in. We never get to see what's in the bag. No, really. Like because like you go to the bag is there, but you don't know what's in it. And
yeah,
so,
have you guys ever heard of squaring the circle? Have you guys heard of that?
No.
It's like this geometric riddle where you can make, there's a specific, when you take a square, when you take a circle and you take another circle on it, there's a very specific square and triangle that is created when you square the circle. I'm just saying it is a map of geometry that is like, oh, if you have this in there, then you know about the squaring of the circle. It's almost like when you look at like Freemason symbology. It's like when you look at a certain page and you see these certain letters on here, it's like, oh, there's Freemason symbology at work because this key can be used. So I'm just saying, like, there's this geometry that that parallels that, where it's like, oh, you know, you take fucking Da Vinci's like perfect body guy, and that has the flower of life circle on there. It's got the, you know, the it's like it's there on purpose. It's not an accident. It's not just regular geometry. It's like a key to show that this is part of that.
Well, there's something meaningful about it. I mean, you know, I wish I could say more than that, but there's something meaningful about the existence of this handbag. And if it's a geometric thing, like if it's a code, if it's some sort of symbol for something else, cool. You know, maybe it's just the first status symbol. You know, maybe it's just the first Gucci bag. You know, like maybe it's like they got a bag and I don't. You know, I don't know.
Right. Yeah.
But it again, like if it's etched in stone, it must. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'm totally assuming this. If it's etched in stone, it must be meaningful.
And I will say this. I mean, I guess it's almost this time, right? I mean, basically, my closing argument of these handbags are that there's this guy out there. His name is Ryan Seven, who is, you know, he's under the Graham Hancock school, and he's the guy that puts forth this geometric evidence, and he's like, you know, his whole argument is that when you look at the handbag, it is using a very specific geometry that all the masters use. And so it's like, it's almost like, it's not that it's a handbag. It's that because it's showing you this key, it's like just saying, like, yes, we are aware of this geometry, and this was made specifically just to point out that we are using this geometry. So it's like a calling card to be like, hey, we fucking know the secrets of the universe. And
but that's a big leap, isn't it? Going from geometry to we know the secrets of the universe.
Yeah. Listen, it is a big leap, but it makes me question this. If I had the secrets of the universe, is it my duty to give it to all humans? My answer is no, because I'm like, dude, everyone's going to, people are going to use this for wrong. And listen, this is me treating this as a superhero thing, but I'm just saying that, like, let's say that knowing
that makes you such a huge fraud, because everything you say on this podcast is we all got to come together and we all got to be like, we've got to share knowledge. We've all got to be, we're all one entity. And now you're saying if I had the secrets to the universe, I wouldn't tell anybody.
Well, no. I mean, I'm trying to make a bigger argument that it's like, let's say you had these secret harmonics that could affect the universe.
Yeah, it's called Pantera, baby.
Yeah, I feel like there's let's say that I knew something that could allow everyone to win the lottery, right?
You would put those secrets in your handbag.
Do you give that away? I'm not saying that I'm going to greedily just win the lottery on my own.
If everybody wins the lottery, then nobody wins the lottery.
But what if winning the lottery like ruins another civilization? I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like there's a responsibility to the universe that like. And this is just me just making shit up, but I'm just saying that like.
I mean, I kind of get it. Like, we're a cancer. It's, you know, if you believe Agent Smith in the Matrix, like, we're killing the planet, and we very much are. And so maybe we shouldn't have all the secrets to the universe, because then we would just ruin the universe, too.
And so my thing is this. Hey, here's all the secrets to the universe. But you can only unlock them if you know this geometry. So it's almost like, hey, if you're smart, here's everything. If you're not smart, here's a drawing, man. Here's a fucking hand, a bearded guy holding a pine cone in a bag. Have fun with that. If you're smart, I mean, listen, here's the secrets to the universe.
If the secrets to the universe are in a drawing of a handbag, then we're doomed. We would never figure this out. This is
we're not the
it's
ones.
It's a square with a handle on it.
Squaring the circle is more important than fucking anything in the, squaring the circle.
I mean, you keep saying that, but I don't even know what it is.
It gives you the geometry for the flower of life. It gives you the fractal patterns that life uses to create. And so it's like if you know that this geometric pattern life uses to create, it's like it makes that the holy geometry.
I guess. I don't know that everything has to be super important. Obviously, the bag is important. I don't know that it's the secret to the universe.
I know. Yeah.
Willie, the,
Murphy, I feel like you're going to say, oh, go on.
Yeah, Willie, the fractals stuff is undeniably important. It's weird and it's trippy and, you know, it can be applied to so many different things. And it can get heady. And that's when I get into multiple world stuff, which can be, you know, it's pretty heady. But when it comes to a fucking handbag, I mean, you know, I'm absolutely convinced that the handbag is so similar across cultures that it appears in different times, thousands of years apart, by the way, thousands of years apart, not like 20 years, thousands of years apart in different cultures. That's absolutely important.
And they don't draw shoes or anything. So it's not like it's like, hey, handbag, shoe, purse.
Yeah. And it's 2D. And so it must mean something important. You know, and I wish I could make some sort of like cool, meaningful statement, but I can't. I can just say it must mean something if it occurs. But seriously, that's fucking weird shit. If it occurs, you know, I don't know that it contains the secret of the universe, but there's something in there. I mean, they're carrying the fucking bag. You know, what's in it? What's in your bag? I mean, my bag's got, you know, typically my computer and some cigarettes.
If I draw myself with a bag, I'm going to put something hanging out. Hey, man, this is what's in my bag. Whatever. I know I'm jumping on you.
But this is why every time there's a grocery bag in a movie, they've got a French bread sticking out of it so that you know that they just went to the grocery store.
Absolutely. 100%. 100%. 100%.
So what are these guys doing? What are they hiding in their fucking bag?
They don't show. See, that's the thing. That's the importance of the bag. They show us that a bag exists, but they will never show us what's in the bag.
But if you put this geometry on top of the bag, that's what they're showing you. Hey, man, this God's holding this bag. It's the fucking tree of life.
But that's just like, if you've solved it, then what are we talking about? If it's just geometry, then who cares? And the tree of life thing, I don't care about that either. Because, like, the way to make life is by fucking. Am I right?
But what if you were trying to explain life on the microscopic level and you, let's say you knew, well, whatever. I know, it's a whole new thing.
And it's just like a Gus Van Sant movie where I don't understand anything that's happening. Or what's the actual Tree of Life guy? There's an actual Tree of Life movie. What's his fucking name? The pie guy. This is all very much, he's pie is the squaring the circle. What's his fucking name? Aronofsky.
Darren Aronofsky. Yeah.
You should talk to Aronofsky. I bet he's got a lot of theories about the
well,
bag.
You know, like when you watch Pi, it's weird because I'm like, what a great artistic movie. But there's no code to the stock market. There's no.
I've never actually seen Pi. I just know that I've been looking up Squaring the Circle, and it's kind of what I was saying about like area, all you know, the area of a circle can equal the area of a triangle, that can equal the area of a square. And I think it's what derived Pi.
But when you that formula, the relationship between the moon and the earth falls in line with that. So it's so harmonious. The geometry is so harmonious with the universe that our moon only matches that formula. It's fucking nuts, dude.
Well, that's Neil deGrasse Tyson level.
He's a.
But,
I don't mean to talk shit on him. He's a fucking bully, man.
Oh, but you don't mean to talk shit.
Just saying, he's a bully. I think he's smart.
Yeah, well,
I think he's smart, but he's a bully. Like we just live in bully culture. It's accepted to be a bully. That's why.
No, bullies are out, man.
Dude, our
love is in. You can't be a bully anymore. Bullies are gone. That's why there's not going to be any funny people in the next generation.
But the last presidential debate was three bullies.
There you go. Right.
Yeah, but they're also fucking 80 years old. They're this octogenarian group that fucking Murphy is so obsessed with. They're bullies, yeah, because we were raised by fucking bullies.
Yeah.
But we're not raising bullies. We're raising good kids who don't bully anymore.
I hope so.
Everyone's got purple hair and shit, and it's cool. It's cool to be gay. It's great. Everyone's accepting now, and it's awesome. They're just not going to be funny. All the movies are going to suck.
I know, dude. Movies going to suck, but humanity's going to be great.
Yeah, I guess it's a good trade-off. I'm fine with it. All right, Murphy. Well, thank you so much for being here. We're going to continue this conversation on our bonus episode. Subscribe, go to patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. Do you have anything, any kind of closing thoughts or anything that you feel like you need to get out?
I just have to say, man, thanks. It's such an honor to be here. Closing thoughts, I guess I'll take to the post party.
All right, great. Yeah, we're going to keep drinking.
You got anything you want
keep
to plug?
Talking.
You're not on social media, right? I've lost. I can't believe.
I have nothing to plug. I have some academic papers in journals you will never read, such as the Journal of Contemporary Ethnography, such as the Florida Public Health Review, and
I've got a good plug for you.
Nice. You can check out my work there.
I got a good plug for you. Rather than paying for that paper through a third party, you can just email Murphy. You can email the author of the paper, and they will generally send it to you for free.
Oh, absolutely.
Rather than paying for it through some weird library that's charging you like $50 for a study.
Yeah, it'll be the worst paper you've ever read.
I'm sure it's a very good paper. It might be boring because it's academic, but it's probably well thought out.
Definitely well thought out, definitely boring.
Right. Well, that's what those papers are. All right. Thanks again for being here. Willie, any plugs, any final thoughts?
You know, follow Real Life Sci-Fi on YouTube. We're going to start putting shit out there.
Oh, is it just what? Do the spelling. Is it just Real Life Sci-Fi, all one word?
I don't even know.
Okay, well, yeah, follow that. Follow the arbitrary account known as Real Life Sci-Fi on YouTube. Once again, just because I'm getting my thoughts in order, patreon.com/reallifesci-fi. And remember, just because your parents... Fuck. Just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.